Welcome to The Fandemic. This is a Facebook and YouTube live podcast show, not live today, but you know, that celebrates all the things that we feel are awesome in hopes of spreading our fandom to you. After the show airs, you'll always be able to find it on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere you get the podcast. In the show, we dive deep into the hearts of fandoms. We celebrate the things we love. From sci-fi to fantasy, movies to TV shows, comics to video games, we explore the universes that have captured our imaginations and made us lifelong fans. Each week, we'll take you on a journey through the realms of awesomeness. Expect passionate discussions, in-depth analyses, things under the bed, many side quests. So whether you're a diehard enthusiast or just dipping your toes in the fandom waters, the Fandemic is the place to be. I'm the host, the self-proclaimed emperor of awesome, Bradley Butin, and today I have a special conversation with Collier Wilmes. I said it wrong, didn't I?
Wilmes,
that was going to be my 17th guess. I was going to keep on going. Oh, man.
I should have let you.
That would have been awesome and made a good sound bite.
Oh, yeah.
Collier, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What's new with you?
Well, howdy there, guys. I'm Collier. I am a monster maker that is based out of Des Moines, Iowa. Essentially, I am a professional makeup effects artist. I make anything for film and entertainment, from monsters, as you can see here, to doing gory makeups whenever they really need to fuck up an actor in a scene.
Right.
And I've done even things like making doubles for animals, because you can't really hurt animals. And it's kind of frowned on to hurt animals for movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if there's ever a scene that requires an animal getting hurt, I've done stuff like made fake pigeons that needed to get their necks snapped. Very classy stuff that I've worked on.
Oh, always. That pigeon is going nowhere.
Actually, it didn't go nowhere because I still have it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's right here. This was obviously not meant to be seen close up.
Yeah.
In fact, it got a little refurbished for a different scene. On a different movie, but
got migration. the animated movie migration's got nothing on you, buddy.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. So this is the Fandemic of our favorite movie monsters, because there's a big movie, really big movie coming out this week, Godzilla Kong, and
the New Empire.
So we were supposed to do this last week and then had to reschedule because I work at the movie theater and Ghostbusters took over the world. And then as I'm putting everything together, I'm like, oh, God, like Godzilla Kong. Like, this is pretty freaking perfect right now.
Fits better.
Right? Exactly, man. So we're going to, before we get too deep, I got to know, what are some of your favorites currently? Favorite movie, favorite TV show? What are you watching? Are you watching any cartoons? Because there's some really good ones right now.
As far as like current stuff that current I watch,
or just what you like.
Oh, I've just been on a roll, of course, with the lead up to Godzilla versus Kong, watching all the old Godzilla Kong and even Kongsploitation movies or Godzilla ripoffs. Like the other day, I was watching Konga. If anybody remembers that little known movie.
That is a good movie.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of fun. I love the suit that they use for it. The name of the dude escapes me right now, but it was a popular, I believe it was the same suit they use in Escape from Planet of the Apes for the gorilla in the past that kills Milo, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. The chimp professor that literally gets off the moment they arrive in the present. Or I guess what would have been the present then.
Just timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah, swibbly-wobbly timey-wimey stuff.
Are you a Doctor Who fan?
I was when I was in high school. I fell off. It was when, who was the final, the old man actor that regenerated into the lady, Jodie, what's her face?
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi. I fizzled out in the middle of his tenure as the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And I just never got around to getting into it. I just remember the big hubbub about when the doctor was becoming a lady.
Mm-hmm.
I remember all the stink about that, and I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
As long as she's good, that's all I care about, but I've never got around to watching it, so the jury's still out on how she did as the Doctor. I'm from what I see, she did fine. She did good.
Yeah. So, like, my only problem with her run as the Doctor is the first season that they did of her, they didn't do anything familiar. Like, Daleks. They introduced Cybermen right at the end of it. I'm like, this is what you guys should have been doing the entire season. But then season two with her was fantastic. So it was like,
so essentially, all the problems were nothing to do with the actress.
Exactly. It was like 99% of casting issues. You know, it's like, okay, guys, this is just bad writing. If you can't see this, I mean, they're copying and pasting from like 10 different movies right now, and they
I've been having like similar conversations recently because one of my favorite podcasts just covered the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. I've had a lot of conversations with friends about the Freddy in that movie. Like, I genuinely think that Jackie Earle Haley could have been a great Freddy.
Absolutely.
Just not in that remake.
Yeah, you know, so I saw, and it was a fake banner that somebody had made, but somebody had put, get this, DJ Qualls.
I've seen that.
Freddy. And you know what? I never knew I wanted that. I want that.
That would be interesting.
Damn. Like, that is what, like, do that, please. Please.
Hopefully, we'll see. I've heard that the Craven Estate is not the most receptive right now as far as like ideas for new movies. I've heard the asking price to do a new Nightmare on their part is like ridiculously high, like higher than what Universal paid to do The Exorcist.
So, I mean, good for them though, because the original stuff is good, and like at least they recognize like they don't want shit. They want a good movie, because there is a really good story to be told, whether it's the origins or they pick up or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, even without Robert Englund, because I mean, let's face it.
I was going to say, it's Robert's done.
Yeah.
I personally think that we're at the point where if there is another Nightmare movie, it has to be recast.
Oh, yeah.
It just has to. Robert's way too old right now to go through what is asked of playing the part of Freddy.
Yeah.
And he's even said that he's not interested in being Freddy again.
Right. But it would be really cool for a cameo where Freddy kills him, though. I mean,
I like his idea, though, where he says he wants to come back in kind of like a Dr. Loomis type character capacity. He's now kind of like the Van Helsing instead of the Dracula.
Nice.
That would be interesting.
I'm definitely for that. So
we already got a taste of that in Behind the Mask, Rise of Leslie Vernon.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's a good movie. It's a fun like riff on slasher genre fare. It's a total deconstruction of it while celebrating it.
Behind the Mask. Okay, got it. I will check that out. And apparently my chair just broke.
Yeah, it's fun mockumentary stuff. It's like it's set in a world where like all the slashers, the popular slashers, are real. Mm-hmm. And Leslie is this up-and-comer, I want to be the next Jason or Michael Myers or Freddy.
That is cool. So, like, I have an idea for a podcast that I want to do, like, someday. It's called Super-ish, because I'm a huge superhero fan. But the whole premise is that a comet goes by Earth, and now all of a sudden, like 1% of all the population has superpowers. However, not all of them are good. Like, one person can fly, but only 6 feet in the air at 6 miles an hour.
There's a weird caveat to it.
Right. And then, like, one person, like, all of their extremities, and I mean yeah. all, are invisible. One person can talk to inanimate objects, you know. And then I built the whole premise is going to be through a group, like an AA group, right. like a support group for these people with super-ish powers. Yeah. And then as we're going along, there's a mystery that's connected to this. I wrote a season, but I just haven't had time to figure out how, like, to do it as a podcast form and get, like, people to do, like, hey, we're going to sign in and whatnot, you know. So it's on my list. I think it's probably like seventh or eighth thing. But
that's a funny concept. That kind of reminds me of a tabletop session I had. I don't recall what the game was. Mm-hmm. I remember one mechanic was every time you died, you get brought back as a clone of yourself. There had to be a weird defect with your clone.
I love that.
Like, but you had to pick a defect that was like something that you could hide because mm-hmm. like supposed to be this illegal technology that if you get caught as a clone, you're like put to death or something. I remember the defect I chose in particular for my character because I was supposed to be this wise ass character, very Deadpool-ish.
Yeah.
I chose my defect that I had a second mouth where the sun don't shine.
Oh, nice.
That so way, literally I talking my character. Shit. Yeah, talking shit or talking out my ass.
That is awesome. That is so cool. So, like, we were playing D&D for a while at the theater, and we had a little group going. Everybody lost interest, but I was the DM and I were kicking around an idea. I wanted to create a game where it takes place in the theater, and all the movies that we're playing affect the game. So, like, if there's like a bunch of horror movies, like right now it'd be like Ghostbusters Immaculate, and then we got like Kung Fu Panda 4, you know, like, and somehow like all those movies would
like a tabletop version of an early 90s movie called Popcorn in a way.
Yes. And man, like, I think it'd be awesome. Like,
that would be a fun tabletop session.
Man. Have you seen X-Men 97?
Honestly, no. I don't really get in too much of the superhero movies mm-hmm. anymore. I'm one of those people that definitely got superhero fatigue.
Yeah.
Mid, like, whatever freaking wave was of Marvel until Endgame. I just remember walking out of the theater in Endgame, watching as the sun was very shiny and being all like, it's over. Finally over. I don't need to care anymore.
Man, I'm still waiting on good DC though. I'm still waiting on good DC.
Yeah, especially since I'm more of a DC guy. I'm hoping, but I am just worried that we've reached the point where the audience it's a point of no return for the audience watching. They're going to be like, no, I don't. You got me too many times. We don't trust you.
Right. Everybody still wants Cavill as Superman. It's like, all right, guys, like, whatever. But
yeah, you know, he's another actor. I'm like, if he had good material, he looks the part.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he's a good actor.
I agree.
Just had horrible material to work with, and they made some very questionable decisions. Like, I am a big Batman v Superman fan, but I will not say I support the idea of bringing Doomsday in for that story.
Right?
It would have made more sense, especially with the way they went about making him, to make it Bizarro.
That would have been awesome. But just because like, Bizarro would have been just cool anyway. I mean, Bizarro is one of my favorite DC characters. I mean, like, man, so good. I mean, and you know what? Doomsday should have been the main villain for everything for the Zack Snyder. They shouldn't have gone to Steppenwolf. They shouldn't have teased Darkseid. It should have been.
Yeah, he definitely would have been. I know that you need Steppenwolf. That way you kind of have, because he's essentially Loki.
Yeah.
In the Marvel, the Loki equivalent, where Loki was the gateway to get to Thanos, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
They needed Steppenwolf in order to have that gateway to getting over to Darkseid.
Mm-hmm.
They could have
Yeah, they could have done a Doomsday and Brainiac. Because I mean, like,
could have, yeah.
Man, because Brainiac and Mongol are two like superhero. I mean, like, okay, so I'm not a huge fan of Superman. Like, Superman will never be better than Christopher Reeve. Never will be.
I am still waiting for Superman done right on the big screen. I've yet to see it. I'm not even a big fan of Christopher Reeve. Sorry, blasphemous of me to say.
That's fine.
Honestly, my favorite Superman movie I've seen is called Superman vs. the Elite. I think that encapsulates the character the best.
And that's who voices him in that? Is that Scott? Oh man,
I can't remember.
Honestly. I know. I it's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to have to look it up.
Do the thing.
Yeah, they DC animation is just awesome.
Oh, they kill it. DC's always been weird. It's been like it's better on the small screen than it has been on the big screen.
Yeah.
George I will say though, Newborn. Back to the okay, George Newborn.
Yeah, George Newborn. And just hasn't done a ton of movies, more of just a voice actor. But yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, he was a good one. And I guess to bring it back to monsters, I do love the crossover right now between DC and the Monsterverse.
Yes.
It's canon that Godzilla killed Superman. Take that, fucker.
I like it. I like it a lot, man.
Yeah.
Do you have the comics?
I don't have the comics. I've just been reading like just what has come into my feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the moment that it dropped, they start dropping the pages of Godzilla versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And just that moment of like, we can't have you fighting in the city. Why are you looking at me like that? Just nuke breath Superman.
Yes. So the comics are fantastic. I do a thing called the Fandemically Reviewed where I just review stuff. I've been heavily doing comics. I've done like all 9 issues of the Green Arrow run because I'm a huge Green Arrow fan. And it's fantastic. It's great. And then I got Duke and Cobra Commander right now are so good. Cobra Commander is this cool, like it's a horror sci-fi book, and it's being written by the same guy that's writing Duke. And Duke is this like spy. It's really like a Winter Soldier. That's the kind of thing, but it's G.I. Joe sprinkled with Transformers, and it's called the Energon Universe, and it's being headlined by Robert Kirkman. So Robert Kirkman has the plan for this, and he's writing one of the books that I haven't been able to get a hold of the number one yet. It's called The Dark Void or something like that, and it's pretty much better than anything that DC and Marvel's doing right now.
Oh wow, that doesn't surprise me, honestly. Though,
yeah, it's Scott.
I'm more a fan of like the independent comics.
Mm-hmm.
I like some of the stuff that Boom puts out. I definitely love Dynamite.
Zenoscope
Image is another one.
Image, I like a lot of Image stuff right now. There's another.
I'm trying to remember. There's a very fun comic book that I picked up like a couple years ago called Kingdom Bum.
Kingdom Bum?
And I think the pitch was for it that it's like Game of Thrones just with homeless people.
I'm sold. I will be picking that up like ASAP.
It is a very fun one. I love that there's this one dude named Axe that his thing is he just goes around chopping off thumbs of any homeless people who do not follow his command.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah, I recommend if anyone gets like a trade paperback, definitely get it.
I'll go check it out. I'll be messaging my comic book place here in Ankeny.
Yeah.
All right, we got to start talking about our favorite movie monster movie TV, because I did throw one TV show in my list here, and I'll just start out with that, and because we already brought it up, Doctor Who.
Oh yeah.
Doctor
Who. Yeah, I love Doctor Who.
Doctor, especially the classic Doctor, there's just something so cool about campy.
Yeah.
And like,
I'll be honest, I've never seen Classic Who. I've only seen the modern wave.
David Tennant, Christopher Eccleston, yeah. Matt Smith.
Grew up in the middle of the Matt Smith. I remember the big like moment when they were doing the modern Doctor crossover event with the Day of the Doctor.
Yes. John Hurt was the.
Oh yeah. Honestly, John Hurt I think is my favorite of the Doctors.
Yeah, I mean, there's Saul just because
between him, maybe it's just that I am very entertained by old dude characters that are just like shut the fuck up. I like right? joking that. And, okay, Eccleston's catchphrase was fantastic. What was Tenet's was Aaron Z. Mm-hmm. Geronimo was Matt Smith's. Peter's was shut up, just shut the up.
The thing that I liked about Capaldi's Doctor was the shredding on guitar.
Oh, yeah.
I
am the Doctor, and this is my spoon.
Right? So the thing, like, Doctor Who could just do anything. It could just do freaking anything it wanted to, and they found a way to make it make sense, but they're like, your head is all over the place, but you're like, damn, that was cool. But so many episodes had monsters in
the Silence, of course. There's the classics the like Cybermen,
Daleks. I mean, Daleks, angels,
thank
the Weeping
you.
Angels. I mean, like
the Weeping Angels, weren't they a creation of what's his face? The one main writer for a while, the new
Stephen Moffat,
yes,
yeah.
Which you can tell because he kind of uses the same mechanic for the Silence, just mm-hmm. instead of like they can only move when you see him, is when you don't see him, you just flat out forget.
Yeah.
I remember one of my first like forays into making a mask was I tried to make my own Silence mask back in high school. Didn't go very well, but that's par for the course when you're just a young high school kid.
So, how did you get into it? Not to, like I said, many, many, many sidetracks.
Yeah, it's okay. Essentially, I've always been a creative kid. I believe it's one part that and growing up very poor. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the toys that I wanted as a kid and couldn't have, I would just make myself or make some form of it myself. Big one was being a Godzilla fan. I feel like I was the last generation of Godzilla fans when it sucked being a Godzilla fan in the States, where, especially growing up in middle of nowhere, Iowa,
mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up in Des Moines. I grew up in like farm town, Iowa.
So did I up north.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get it. Like,
yeah, I grew up in a small town called Arner.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in a small town called Mount Air. So,
oh yeah, so I'm a little older than you, but my hometown played your hometown. We were in the same conference, I'm pretty sure. In a few.
Oh times. Wow!
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so I remember rarely the movies came on. It was like the Holy Grail if I ever found like one on tape or eventually on DVD.
Yeah.
And the same thing with any toys. And there was a weird fucking thing growing up. I'll never forgive my family dogs for this. They had a vendetta against every time I had a Godzilla toy. I don't know what it was in the plastic, but they would always, like, I could leave any toy laying around, but they'd always go straight to those Godzillas. I don't know what it was.
Because Godzilla's cooler than Kong.
Apparently. That's the thing, I didn't even have any Kong ones. I remember I only had one.
Let's play the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's fair. That's
but
fair.
Yeah, Godzilla was a big one growing up. Of course, King Kong. Watching. I remember in 2005 when the remake was coming out, and they released a special edition of the original. That was the 2-disc special edition, where the mm-hmm. second disc showed them trying to recreate the behind the scenes stuff for Kong, since there was barely any Kong behind the scenes stuff in the day. Peter Jackson took it upon himself to make like behind the scenes stuff for Kong. They made their own puppets and such, and that's what led to them recreating the missing spider pit sequence. I remember watching that as a kid and be like, oh, they make like these miniature things. And I started making my own little miniatures out of pipe cleaners, which I actually have one of the relics from when I was a kid and making my own little toys.
Oh, that's cool.
Making this out of pipe cleaners. Survived over the years miraculously.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's still lurking around my studio. I like to keep little memories
of course,
where you start.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you just gotta keep in mind how far you've come. Then in high school, I started playing around with clay and rubber, got my first chance to make a monster for my high school play, where I got to make some aliens, so that was a lot of fun. Thanks, Mrs. Kniep, for letting me do that.
Nice.
And that just was enough to give me the bug of, like, I want to do this for a living. And then the double whammy, of course, of when I was in high school, was when the shows Face Off and Making Monsters was coming out.
Yeah.
And, of course, my mentor, Laura Tyler, was on Face Off. And I got put in touch with her because our families know each other. My grandparents are friends with her aunt and uncle. So
nice.
The moment I started showing any prowess in any of this, they were like, we're putting you in touch with Laura. And she was awesome. She guided me throughout the years.
That's super cool. Face Off ended way too soon. I love that show.
Yeah, I like it. I dropped off past season 5, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that I personally don't like about the show. But that just comes with the territory of it also having to serve the purpose of being a reality show.
Yeah, well, yeah, gotta get the peoples. I have a thing for stupid reality shows like that, Survivor, Big Brother. I'm a Big Brother nerd. Like Big Brother.
I remember hearing lots of funny stories because one of the main producer friends that I work with, he cut his teeth a lot on Bachelor.
Oh God, I've never watched The Bachelor.
I haven't either, but he's told me some hilarious stories behind the scenes. I couldn't tell any of them because
right.
He could always tell them better than I could.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's cool. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, what are some of your favorite movie monsters throughout the ages?
Oh, God, that's a question and a half. Of course, we touched on, like, two of my favorites already, Godzilla and Kong.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for any, like, ape-based monster. Of course, I'm a big Bigfoot fan, as you guys can tell. That was one of those monsters that I remember my dad traumatizing me with as a kid. Like being 3-4 years old, and we were about to go on our first camping trip, and he's like, boy, I'm going to tie you to a tree and leave you in the woods for Bigfoot to come get you. That's what I'm going to do.
That's awesome. Oh, man.
Yeah, it traumatized me in the moment, but it led to a lifelong obsession. Bigfoot movies, I just eat that shit up.
What are some good current Bigfoot movies? Because I don't see...
I just checked out a new one called The Bigfoot Trap. Shout out to my friend Adam, who runs the Bigfoot Film Appreciation Group. He actually gave me a free copy because the director had given him a bunch of copies. And he ran up to one of my booths at an art show I was at, handed me a copy, and I popped it in as soon as I got home. And it was a bunch of fun. It's, of course, about a Bigfoot researcher that makes his own Bigfoot trap to try to convince people that there is a Bigfoot out there. And of course, a journalist comes in trying to do a story to kind of rip on him. Like, haha, let's see how stupid this guy is.
Nice.
It becomes kind of the suspenseful drama of sorts.
along on those lines of Bigfoot and apes, so we you got to talk a little bit about Planet of the Apes.
Oh, of course.
I mean, like, just the evolution of Planet of the Apes from, you know, the 60s to now. I mean, now.
Yeah.
So good.
I mean, another one's coming out this year.
Yeah. I mean, so as of right now, best movie that I've seen probably in a long time has been Dune Part 2. But I'm a huge Planet of the Apes fan, and Kingdom looks phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. They haven't really done wrong since the Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
Because the new ones are just banger after banger after banger. So.
Yeah, that and that one. No, did they connect that one to the other ones? In the last Which movie, one? Somehow. The Mark the Wahlberg Burton. One.
That one is its own thing.
Yeah.
That's not connected to any of the timelines.
I thought, okay.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes is kind of like a little bit loosey-goosey on whether or not it was going to connect to the original ones. Mm. But now I believe it's spawned off into it. It's just its own thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. It was fine. Like for the time that we were at,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it was the best that we were going to get, and we probably wouldn't.
The makeups were great.
It was absolutely, absolutely.
But that's what you get for having Rick Baker doing the makeups for the Tim Burton one.
Tim Burton, I mean, just his catalog alone. I mean, Edward Scissorhands. I mean, like
Mars my favorite. Attacks.
Yes, my favorite Tim Burton movie is Big Fish.
I have not seen that one, honestly.
You're going to cry. I mean, like, it's not what you expect, but but like Tim Burton, that and Beetlejuice coming out.
Oh, boy. I keep forgetting about that, that they finally are doing Beetlejuice. But does he go to Jamaica? That's my question.
I don't know. Oh, we'll find out September 6th.
I guess so.
Yes. And you know what, like the title, I mean, just because they came on the title as Beetlejuice instead of Beetlejuice 2, like, yeah. I'm in. Like that is a perfect title for the movie.
So they're going to have to make a third one, and it's going to be Beetlejuice.
Yeah. And that one will come a lot sooner.
I feel because, about that.
Well, and Michael Keaton's getting up there too.
Yeah.
I mean, but
maybe. Maybe we should just leave movies alone. I don't
know. You know what? There's a solid case of it. Then all these people want to make money off of properties that are already out there. I'm looking at you, Disney and Star Wars. You should have stopped at 2 or 3. Anything after the original trilogy. I will say the prequels have grown on me throughout the years.
Yeah. I can't be one of those guys that's only original trilogy. I grew up with the prequels. Mm-hmm. So I just naturally have a soft spot for them. I admit, 1, hot garbage. 2, very forgettable. Revenge of the Sith, though.
Revenge of the Sith is better than Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, yeah. If I had to rank them, my at least the first 5, it would be Empire Strikes Back,
mm-hmm.
A New Hope, Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi, and then probably The Force Awakens, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I really feel my opinion on the prequels for Star Wars is it feels like George kind of putzed around the first 2 movies, and by the time he got to Revenge of the Sith, he was like, oh, fuck, I gotta wrap this up.
Right. Yeah. How do I connect all the dots? But that's better than the sequel trilogy where they didn't even have a map. They're like, well, we'll figure out how to connect.
Well, the funny thing is they had a game plan that George gave them. They're like, that's nice.
Right.
Threw it out. All right. We're just going to fucking wing it.
Yeah. We're going to have Han Solo. First of all, we're going to get Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher to sign on to the movies, but we're not going to have any scenes with them all together because nobody wants to see that. You know,
we're
not going to have Han Solo or have their son kill him. Han Solo is going to be like a deadbeat dad. Luke is going to be freaking like
he's crawling in his skin. His wounds just won't seem to heal.
Right, man. I still believe that they could. Here's my fix. Free fix for Star Wars. They go back and Luke is still alive. The Luke that died in Last Jedi was Luke, L-U-U-K-E. That was a clone of Luke from the books.
I think here's the easier fix, though. Just go to those time portals that they've established in both Rebels and the Ahsoka show.
Yep.
And just do a whole like time travel thing where it's like, okay, we're going back in time. We're stopping this from happening.
Yep. I dig
That's
it.
The easy fix. It's straight up what they're doing with the DCEU right now with the fucking Flashpoint Paradox.
Dude, that pisses me off so bad is that, okay, Ezra Miller is a piece of shit. We get that, right? Everybody wanted him done. Like, they brought up the perfect way to change the character using the Speed Force multiverse, you know, whatever. And then they didn't do it.
They're going to recast it anyway.
All they had to do at the end was all they had to do is have Grant Gustin come out of the Speed Force when Ezra Miller went in.
Yeah.
And it would have made more millions of dollars. Right? What's that?
That's a TV show guy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a TV show Flash. Yeah. I mean, but you know what? Indiana Jones did it too. Indiana Jones.
They didn't die with Destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. They gave him a good ending.
Another one I didn't see. I honestly, the only big franchise I've been consistently keeping up with is the MonsterVerse.
Yeah. I mean, you're safe that way. I mean, because you're not looking for super deep in Jeepers Creepers, you know?
Yeah.
You're not looking like the monster's the monster, you know? Like, you know what's happening. But I mean,
I saw a meme earlier today where people were like, oh, MonsterVerse, what bad human plots. The Godzilla can't jump, Showa sucks. And it's just the meme of the Hulk from Ragnarok be like, but big monster!
Hulk smash!
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I like big monster. You cannot convince me not to see it. I like big monsters, damn it.
And I cannot lie.
Yeah. And other brothers can't deny.
That's right. Better not walk into an itty bitty waist.
Yeah.
I mean, round thing will get thrown. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to test.
One monster I think should get a reboot is Pumpkinhead, though. Do it right this time, though.
Puppet Master.
I'm not a big Puppet Master. So.
Man, I dude, like I hate Child's Play. I think it's just stupid because I just punted him. But there's something about Puppet Master,
there's a lot of Chucky stands that would probably skin you alive for saying that.
Probably come at me. It's fine. Yeah. I don't care.
I don't know. When it came to slashers, I'm a big Jason fan.
I mean, there isn't a better one than Jason when it comes to slashers.
Oh yeah, he's just the most OP,
right?
Next to Freddy.
Yes, and he will never die.
Plus I just had the luxury of showing my girlfriend the Friday movies for the first time. We like rapid fire through them.
Did you? How long did it take?
A solid week.
Nice. So, what was her favorite one?
Oh, I'm trying to think. She really loved the first one, which is funny because that's probably my least favorite.
So I think
the Friday movies.
Three is my favorite.
Yeah, that's the one where he gets the hockey mask. That's the one where it's supposed to be in 3D.
Yep.
I think it's hard for me to remember. I know we both enjoyed watching Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
That's honestly probably the strongest crossover movie that's been made.
Yeah. And that teaser with Michael Myers at the end, like.
Wait, what?
Yeah, where Freddy's claw grabs the mask of Michael Myers.
That doesn't happen.
Maybe
you're trying to gaslight me. Are you talking about the ending of Jason Goes to Hell?
Swear that.
No, that's from Jason Goes to Hell, where the hockey mask is in the dirt and Freddy's hand comes out of the glove.
Oh,
or comes out of not the glove. The gloves comes out of the ground.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some fan somewhere trying to do a fan film where Freddy's glove grabs Michael Myers' mask.
I would like to see Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees duke it out, though.
That would be a squash match.
It'd be awesome. Why is there not a Mortal Kombat game with just slashers? with like,
I think there's like some fan made ones out there.
Yeah, I mean, because I know there's a lot of them in Mortal Kombat. You know, like Leatherface is in there and stuff like that.
Jason was in one. Yeah, and Freddy was in, but they weren't in the same Mortal Kombat game.
Right. So cool thing. So you have Jason, you have Freddy, you have Leatherface, you have all them that have been in Mortal Kombat. You also have DC that's been in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You could make a game that has Superman fighting Jason. And the IP is already connectable.
My vote is still on Jason.
I mean, I just want to see him like cut people in half. I want to see a Batman fight with Jason. When I think it'd be so cool.
How's Batman gonna prepare for that? Batman's gonna win with prep time.
Yes, and see, this is why. I mean, I'm a fan of. So I love Batman. I really do. But my favorite superheroes are Green Arrow, Green Lantern, and Nightwing in the DC. Mm-hmm. I think Nightwing is better than Batman.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, I mean,
I have nothing really to say though. I have no investment.
Well, Batman is just too. I don't know. He's just too much anymore. He's not what he was. But
I feel like Batman is just one of those characters. It's kind of like, almost the perception is kind of similar to what's become of Rick and Morty right now, where it's almost like the fans of Batman.
Yeah.
They just, I'm going to at you guys, you fucking nerds, okay? You guys have gotten so out of hand, so fucking annoying.
Shut
You're
up.
Ruining the character.
Right? Yeah, it's like, yeah. And it'll bring the Joker. No, don't bring the Joker. There's so many more. Like, Joker's cool.
But I was gonna say, haven't we had enough fucking Joker stories by this point?
Yeah.
Honestly, I want to see some of the, if we're gonna keep doing Batman movies, let's do his extended Rogues Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Killer Croc fan.
Right?
Surprise, surprise. I like the most monstrous fucking villain there is. Can't we get a... I remember back in the day when I was a bit more into superheroes, I remember me and my friends would pitch our own, like, stories, Batman stories that we would love to see. And I remember pitching a story where you could do almost like a Robin origin story, where, like, both characters of Robin and Killer Croc had histories and like circuses and stuff. Like, why not make a movie where they come from the same circus?
Haley's circus. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I like that a lot, actually.
They both like react to of course, like Killer Croc could be like very connected to like the Graysons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were one of the few people that are nice to him. Like, they had that whole circus bond or whatever.
That'd be really cool.
And like, both Grayson and Croc take like two different like reactions to the murder of the flying Graysons.
That's awesome. I would love to see that. Another one that I think is way overdue is Creature from the Black Lagoon and Swamp Thing.
Oh, I love Creature.
Well, Swamp Creature, Thing is just, I'm a huge Swamp.
I know Swamp Thing. They're green gonna be doing is my Swamp favorite thing. Color. Yeah, Swamp Thing. They're doing a new one. That's a part of the new DC plan I saw that James Gunn put out.
Yeah, Creature Commandos.
He said, yeah. Well, they're also just doing a standalone Swamp Thing.
Oh!
Because he said he put out, like, I remember on Instagram, he put out that the first wave of the new DC universe under his direction will be called the Gods and Monsters wave.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I remember
that. Of course, Creature Commandos is going to be one of them. And he's also wanting to do a Swamp Thing movie. That was the last I heard.
Give me, the more Swamp Thing we can get, the better. I mean,
yeah, especially after the injustice that happened to the Swamp Thing TV show. I just got, the show that was like aired one episode and then DC Universe was like, we're canceling it.
Yeah, after seven episodes, they ran out of money, so they had to tie everything up and there was supposed to be like 12 episodes or something. And that show was great. That show was
What I understand, it was doing the whole Alan Moore story with the Floronic Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's not gonna sell, you know. Anyway. All right, enough of the superhero talk. For some reason I can find a way to bring it back all the time. Actually,
I'm like the worst guest to talk superheroes with, where I'm like, I liked them at one point, but Marvel just decided we're just going to oversaturate the market. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm done.
Well, there's Predator, and there is a comic, Predator versus Wolverine.
Oh, I've been seeing that. I'm going to have to check that out.
That is, it's fantastic. It's a really good story. It's only four issues, and it's written by one of my favorite comic book writers, Benjamin Percy. And it's cool because so there's this meeting in Canada when Wolverine just finds out he's a mutant before Weapon X and everything like that. And so there's a meeting, and Wolverine wins, but it's more like a draw. So like the Predator goes away, but the Predator's young at this time. And then years and years later, after his mind gets wiped and everything like that, the Predator comes back for revenge on Wolverine. But Wolverine has no idea who the fuck he is.
Okay.
Just that he's going after him. And that's the story they're digging. Like, he has no idea who this Predator, this guy that's hunting Wolverine is. And it's clever. It's super, super clever.
I feel like I'm going to go in. I'm going to be disappointed by the end, because I'm just going to be voting for the Predator the whole time. But I know Predator.
Yeah, you'll be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. But man, like Predator, the only bad part about the Predator movies is that freaking Murtaugh beats him.
Who's Murtaugh again?
Murtaugh from I can't think of his name from Lethal Weapon.
You're talking about Danny Glover.
Danny Glover, yes.
I never got into the Lethal Weapon series, so
Danny Glover, yes. That's thank you.
I fucking love the Predator too. Fuck you.
The concrete jungle. Excuse me.
I get it. It's hard following up Arnie, but I don't know. I grew up with Predator 2 first before I even saw the original.
Oh, okay.
So I have very fond memories of that being one of my first R-rated movies I watched as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember that moment when he just punches that one agent dude in the face. He's like, go fuck yourself. All right, pussy face, it's your move.
I haven't watched that movie. You know what?
Give it a rewatch.
Predator movies need a good rewatch. Because we were talking about crossovers. There is a Predator versus Aliens movie.
That got shelved? You're talking about the actual one.
Yeah, and then they did the sequel. The sequel was horrible. The first one wasn't that bad, but...
I liked Alien versus Predator. That was another one. I remember that was the actual first Alien and Predator movie I watched as a kid.
Yep.
I remember making a point of that, because kind of tying back to my story with why I like Bigfoot and ape-like creatures so much, due to like traumatization as a kid. Similar story with Alien. I remember I was a big dinosaur fan as a kid, of course. There was a dinosaur documentary on TV I was trying to watch, and my dad had hold the remote. Every time I'd sit down to watch, he'd flip the channel, and it happened that Alien Resurrection was playing. So he'd flip it to Alien Resurrection every time I tried to watch, and I'd like get scared, run out of the room. He'd change it back to the dinosaur documentary, just sit there and wait for me to come back in and just sheepishly try to sneak up, watch, and then he'd change it back. And that's how I remember one scene that got burned into my memory was when he takes that one dude's head, the dude that has the chest burster in him, puts up against his chest so the alien goes right through his mouth.
Yeah.
I remember that like stuck in my brain, and that truly like anytime I remember after as a kid, just anytime I saw the xenomorph, I was just like, get away, get it the fuck away from me. Kill it with fire.
Man, so I haven't watched the original Aliens in a long, long time. And I want to before the Romulus comes out. I'm gonna give them all a good rewatch. But like I started to, and it scared the shit out of my 11-year-old. So I was like, all right, this is obviously going to be one of those movies that I'm going to have to watch when nobody else is around. These are my day off movies. So, okay, cool.
I need to rewatch the original. Me and my girl really, because she the Alien movies are like her all time favorite. So we recently rewatched Aliens. Just love that movie. Cameron's a master of how to direct effects.
Oh God, yes, absolutely, so good. And I wish he would do more of it. I mean, like, he's in, you know, Avatar. I mean, he's in a different part of his career now.
Yeah. But honestly, like, I'm fine with him. He did what he did. Nothing's going to take that away from him. Mm-hmm. If he wants to take fucking forever making his Avatar, perfect Avatar series, let him. I'm just watching him up.
I will say the Avatar movies are great in 3D.
I'm sure. I remember watching it, the original, like way back, and it was fun. I think it's probably the smartest use of 3D I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing the gimmicky shit of like throw things at the camera, they were just using it to like portray depth. Wow, imagine that.
Wow.
Make it look like, oh, the screen's coming out. Make it seem like, oh, I can reach into the screen.
I think the first movie that I had seen in 3D in a long time was like My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, I recently remember that one. The podcast that I said mentioned earlier. They covered My Bloody Valentine 3D recently, and I remember watching that with my girl, and we were just having a blast with that. That's fucking hilarious. And I just love, because if you notice, that movie came out the same month that the Friday the 13th reboot came out.
Did it really?
Yeah. I believe they were going head-to-head that same weekend. And I gotta wonder, like, what was the conversation the next season of Supernatural? Because those movies obviously were done when it was off season for both actors. And I find it hilarious that the guy who plays Dean is the star of My Bloody Valentine 3D. And the guy who plays Sam is the star of the Friday the 13th reboot.
Nice.
Is this canon? They've already admitted that Transformers is canon to the Friday the 13th reboot.
They did?
Yeah, because that fucking bully character, Trent, he plays a bully character in the 2007 Transformers Michael Bay movie. And 2 years later, he's in the Friday the 13th movie playing a bully character named Trent. I think somebody asked a producer or a writer, especially since there's also the Michael Bay connection due to him producing the reboot of Friday the 13th. I think somebody as a joke just said, yeah, they're the same character.
That's awesome. So Transformers versus Jason.
Jason, just imagine that every time that Optimus is ripping apart Decepticons somewhere else in that world, Jason's going around ripping apart teenagers.
One shall fall, one shall stand. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Oh, man.
So does that mean that the Nightmare on Elm Street remake takes place in the same universe too, and the Leatherface remake too? I mean,
I'm for that. So I had I interviewed some friends of mine that did a movie called Harlow's Haunt, and John Dugan, who showed up on there from, he was in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right. Wasn't he a cook?
Yeah, I think so. And then he's been in like almost every Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing that's been out there.
I thought the cook died like forever ago.
Yeah, I think he was one of the newer ones. He's a sheriff in there, but
okay,
yeah, cool guy, super cool guy. What about zombies? What's your favorite zombie? I mean, like, you got The Walking Dead, but
honestly, man, I'm feeling sorry for the audience because it must seem like I hate everything, but
you're good.
Really. You're I'm not really a big zombie guy, but I will say if I had to pick, my favorite zombie movie is actually Return of the Living Dead. I like zombies when they're monsters and they have personality. That's just the type of creatures I draw towards. So like the normal like Romero zombie, they never
didn't click.
They were never clicked with me because I get it. That's part of the commentary with zombies. They're supposed to be kind of like a metaphor for the brainwashed masses in a way. most stories at least. I just love the allegory with drug use and stuff, substance abuse with the Return of the Living Dead zombies. The whole idea, the concept of they can feel themselves rotting away, and the only way to stop the pain is by eating brains.
Very good.
Also, the tar man. That's the mic drop there.
I mean, that is a good mic drop. What monsters have we not hit on?
What iconic movie monsters
have we not hit on? I mean, or at least mentioned.
I feel like we got to talk some way about like body horror monsters.
Okay.
Like the Fly, of course. That's the one Fly, that I've seen.
Dude, so if there is ever a Mount Rushmore of the greatest actors that have ever lived, Jeff Goldblum will be there. I love everything with Jeff Goldblum. Me and my buddy.
That man has been way too much of an influence on like how I grew up. Because, of course, growing up with Jurassic Park.
Dude. Oh,
that actually jogs my mind. Frankenstein monsters. That's something we need to talk about. Because I share a special connection with that. Because of all the things that could have happened. The dude who grows up to be like a monster maker, of course, was born on National Frankenstein Day.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
August 30th, that's National Frankenstein Day, because that was the birthday of Mary Shelley, the woman who wrote Frankenstein.
Wrote the book, yeah. And it's a great book. I've read it a few times. Yeah. I mean, like it's one of the better books. I mean, it's easily just as good as
it literally is the foundation of science fiction.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You don't get a lot of in Frankenstein is very, very misunderstood. I mean, my favorite interpretation of Frankenstein is in Van Helsing, where he's a good guy.
Oh, right. Yeah. The monster.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a very underrated movie, honestly. Van Helsing. Yeah. I'm kind of bummed that it didn't become the franchise starter that it was trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been fun, just seeing Van Helsing going around meeting all the different monsters. I'm bummed that there wasn't that moment where the creature from the Black Lagoon came out when they were in the water.
They can't figure that out. They cannot figure out Creature of the Black Lagoon. And maybe that's
it's
good.
Not that fucking hard, guys. It's just King Kong with a fish man instead of a monkey.
Yeah.
That's literally all that series was.
There you have it, guys. Free. There you go. Make something good.
Universal, call me.
Right?
Call some random asshole in the middle of Iowa.
That's where you're going to get your good ideas, guys.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, but the Frankenstein monster, that's just another fun one. I love the Hammer series, if anyone's ever like that was the 50s series of movies where this British company called Hammer essentially took Dracula and Frankenstein and did, like, for the time, their gritty reboots. Where they brought them back in color, bloody. And it had Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
I mean, you have me at Christopher Lee. Because Christopher Lee, man.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I got you. I can see you. Christopher Lee is just amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You froze for a second there.
it's okay. Christopher Lee, and you know what? I'm going to take that right back to Star Wars, because Count Dooku was one of the best Sith out there.
Oh, yeah. I if there was any new additions to the Star Wars mythos that I enjoyed was that Tales from the Jedi, where they went into Count Dooku's backstory.
Right? And made you care so much about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So good. And the guy that they got to do the voice was...
Oh, yeah.
Spot on, man.
Well, he also did the voice of Zeus in the God of War series.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I just recently realized that, where I was, like, watching clips from the original trilogy of God of War. Mm-hmm. And just every time I heard him go Kratos, I was like, oh, hey.
That's Dooku.
It's Dooku.
Ah, cool. Awesome. Huh. All right. What about werewolves? I mean, we hit Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. That's another one. I'm always a big classic Lon Chaney Jr. fan, of course. I love the Wolfman. Honestly, I feel like the Wolfman remake is the most criminally underrated remake.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. I feel like that movie got very unfairly shit on. Like, apparently to the point where even the president of Universal came out and apologized for that movie. It's like,
why?
It wasn't really that bad.
It was good. I remember seeing that. I remember watching that movie a few times.
I heard some of the behind-the-scenes story. I know Rick Baker had a tough time with it, and that led to him being like, fuck this, I'm out of the movie industry. Huh. And that sucks, but the movie wasn't that bad.
No. I mean, like, if I ran across it on Netflix or something like that, I would watch it. I don't know if it's streaming or anything right now, but I mean, like, if I came across it, I would put it on my queue, and it would be one of the next things that I watch. As a matter of fact, I'll probably search it when we're done.
It's one of those movies I love popping in every time around Halloween. It just has those classic, like, spooky vibes.
I really like the Underworld series.
I like them up until...
Yeah, they get a little
fourth one. The fourth one was when I was like, okay, I'm done here. And in fact, I remember a funny story with one of my nephews. I was at work and I got a call from my mom saying, oh my God, your nephew just accidentally broke one of your Underworld DVDs. I was like, oh God, which one? It was like Underworld Awakening, I think it was. It was like, oh, thank God it wasn't one of the good ones.
Okay, no big
deal. Okay, I don't care. He can break that one as much as he wants.
Yeah, after three, I think, yeah.
I remember three was fun, because that was Rise of the Lycans, and that was like the prequel story.
Yes, and dude, that one was good.
Honestly, they should have just capped it there. It would have been nice, in its own little like fun trilogy.
Mm-hmm. And really, it was, really it was two and then that one, but dude, man, Kate Beckinsale.
Beckinsale? No,
yeah, so good. So good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. What else do you got? What else? What other movie monsters are we not talking about?
Oh, man. Honestly, I can talk for days about various, like, I've touched on Pumpkinhead. That's one that I feel is like criminally underutilized. And that is like one of the few ones where, oh, okay. Actually, there are two monsters that I feel have been very underutilized. Like I said, Pumpkinhead is one of them. Like there's only been that first one, and that's the only good one. All the sequels are fucking hot trash.
Agree.
That's one that I would not mind if they rebooted in some capacity. And then another one, that there's just really the first one, and then like the second one is passable just because the actor stuck around, was Wishmaster. That is a new one that I just learned. It like had a weird effect on me growing up due to like cultural osmosis. Because Wishmaster is a movie, I could see that you didn't quite recognize what it was. It's a Killer Genie movie, essentially.
Oh, okay. I know once I'm pulling up the. Oh, okay, now that I see the banner for it. Okay, I remember it now.
Yeah, man, it's a very
three.
There's like four of them, but like the second one was like another like straight to DVD movie. Didn't come back, and the actor stuck around for that one. Then afterwards, he was like, nah, I'm not doing this. This sucks. And like I said, it's one of those that I've only found recently, but it was like, I was watching, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much of this character, in a way, through cultural osmosis, seeped a little bit into my personality. Because there was a show I watched growing up called Dragon Ball Z Abridged. By the time they got to the Cell Saga, it's a parody series that was made by fans. By the time they got to the Cell Saga, they drew a lot from Wishmaster for Imperfect Cell, to the point where there's even a moment when he was in the fight and they ripped off his tail. because he can regenerate. He just grows it back, and he's like, yeah. "If it's any consolation, that hurt like hell."
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
I love it. I have never seen the Wishmasters. So
I definitely recommend checking out the first one. It's very much kind of like a, like I said, it's Killer Genie movie that's kind of very Hellraiser inspired in a way.
I like Hellraiser.
Just in the concept of like the monster kind of has to gradually regenerate mm-hmm. once he is unleashed into the world. Also, it has a, I can't remember. I know his first name's Buck, but he's essentially that one dude who's played either a hillbilly or a farmer his whole career. He was in They Live. He was the bum guy who sells everybody out.
Nice.
He was also in Pumpkinhead. See, I didn't even plan that ahead. He's in both Pumpkinhead and Wishmaster. He's the father of the hillbilly family that's telling Ed Harley, don't do it. Don't go to that witch. All she can do is drag you straight to hell.
Nice. I love it. All right. So, hey, we need to talk a little bit about your creations here. Like, introduce me to your creations. Where are they from? What are their names?
Well, this guy right here, this intimidating looking fellow, his name is Bob. Bob is actually a creature I designed like years back for my own short film that I tried to make. Unfortunately, it fell through. Happens in a lot in the film world, but mm-hmm. who knows? Maybe this isn't the end of Bob, because the Sam Winston School regularly hosts contests, and they recently were hosting a creature design contest. And I remember I was intending to join. I was like, ah, I'm just going to join. I don't care. I'm not even planning on winning. I just want to join just for like the networking and getting my work seen, because sometimes they'll post people who do it throughout the day. Mm-hmm. I was not getting around to it, and literally the last day, the very last day it was going, I was like, oh fuck, I need to post it on the forum. So I post this and my Bigfoot. And I remember the day was like, I wouldn't have probably checked it if it wasn't for my girlfriend being like, what happened, babe? Check out. I'll check the Sam Winston School. Yeah, I checked the Sam Winston School. They posted that the winner is like, okay, let's see who it is. Refresh. Oh, I'm not seeing things. I did win.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't even believe for like the first couple of days that I won. So yeah, this is Bob won me an award with the illustrious Stan Winston School. So that's kind of cool, getting to be a part of the Stan Winston name. Another one I have behind me is Shark Boy. This is the real Shark Boy, guys.
There's a Lava Girl around.
I'll get around to Lava Girl at some point. But yeah, this was just another creature I designed like forever ago. He's been like sitting around my shop unpainted for years until like past month. I was like, you know what? I got some time. I should probably finish him up. So that guy gave him kind of like a deep sea creature type feel. The initial inspiration was a cookie cutter shark with the lower underbite. I just kind of wanted to go for a H.P. Lovecraft type deep ones feel.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, I gave him like gills, kind of like a frilled shark. It's kind of like those droopy look. There's that. I have my series of apes here. I just did this gorilla. Very much Planet of the Apes inspired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
This is my latest gorilla man.
Damn, that's so cool.
And this one, of course, one of my crown jewels. This is like one of my favorite. Of course, I choose one of my Sasquatch masks as my favorite.
Yeah.
But what can I say? I have a soft spot for the big hairy guy.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with
everyone
that.
Everyone loves a good mystery. I owe a lot to this character. I literally met my girlfriend, the love of my life, through the whole Bigfoot world.
Very cool. Very cool.
And of course, I can't forget, I have one just off screen. This is the Cylonian alien. I did this for a shout out to Monster Resurrection. This is a mask that I did for them. They approached me at Maskfest last year. They wanted to collaborate with me, essentially. They wanted me to do a mask for them. I, of course, obliged. I really like them. It's a father-son company. Zach and Cash. Zach, you're doing awesome work as a dad. Shout out to you. And Cash, keep making monsters. You remind me of me when I was your age. I also, forgive me, I should have had him within reach. But I got another one that I should shout out. This season, coming out at Trick or Treat Studios, this is my personal copy. Check out the Beach Monster coming soon.
Oh,
this one is actually a remake. I believe I can talk about it now. Justin gave me the go-ahead because they just released their catalog. I've always been a fan of a YouTuber by the name of David Lady, the Mask Fan Addict. He would always go through and show off different masks out of his collection. And one day he showed off a old paper magic mask called the Boogeyman. Very kind of fun 70s design with the big bulgy eyes, these goblin ears, and these fangs. It's just a design that always caught me. And I remember I was after Mask Fest, I was really inspired to do another monster mask. And I was very inspired by a lot of my peers, like Russ Turk. Of course, like I mentioned with the Monster Resurrection guys, Justin Mabry and Norman Cabrera, especially Norman with his, he does a lot of Big Daddy Roth style monsters. I started sculpting this just as a fan of the original, and I remember showing it to my mask friends, all the guys I mentioned. I messaged it to Justin Mabry. And I remember, and for those of you who aren't in the know, Justin Mabry is the art director of Trick or Treat Studios. He does 90% of the sculpts there. And he just responds, "That looks cool. We actually own the paper magic molds." I was like, "Oh, I swear to God, I did not know that." He's like, "That's cool. That's fun. You want to put that out through us?" Hell yeah, I do.
That's awesome.
So yeah, this is going to be hitting the shelves this summer. Actually, I know. I believe it's the season that it's going to be out. So, yeah, if you guys are into collecting a monster mask, keep your eyes out for this one and add it to your collection.
Hell yes. I will.
I was told I was one of two guest sculptors for the 2024 catalog. And it was me and Jordu Shell, which... to be kind of put on the same, just being mentioned in the same sentence as Jordu Shell was a moment where I was like, oh.
Nice, very good.
Well, like I said, I grew up with making monsters, and of course, Jordu Shell was a big sculptor for Distortion, so I'm a big fan of Jordu, and it just kind of felt very, like, I feel very honored.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, so Collier, it is time to start wrapping things up. Can one last time tell us where we can find you, where we can find your masks, and get them as well?
Well, you can find me. I'm pretty much on every social media platform. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm primarily the most active on both TikTok and Instagram, since I can just have the luxury of like, oh, TikTok, I can just edit the video, it'll download to my phone, post that across platforms. Same with Instagram and the pictures. And you can find my work actually on Etsy right now, or sometimes I'll just do direct dealings with people. Like, you see a mask you like, just direct message me. If I still have it available, it will be yours.
Awesome. Or you can F me, find me, follow me, or friend me at Facebook at The Fandemic, TikTok at The Fandemic One, Instagram at the Fandemic One. If you feel there is more of a conversation, feel free to reach out and let's talk. Who knows? We'll do another episode. If you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic. Find me on Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTNFandemic. You can just go to PayPal or Venmo at Bradley Butin. I'm not going to say no. Just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Man, this was a super fun conversation. I'm going to have you back for some horror-themed episodes. And if you want to bring your girlfriend in on there, I think it would be a fun cons. I would love to do like a monthly thing, maybe where pick a random horror movie and just do something fun. So we'll talk about that a little bit offline.
Right, okay, so sounds good.
I think we're hitting max levels of awesome. So we're going to end the show like I do every week on a positive note. Collier, what are your words of wisdom? Love it. All right. Friendship is like peeing on yourself. Everyone can see it, but only you get the warm feeling that it brings. Remember, squirrels' cheeks are also their nutsacks. Have a good day.